Now, the eyes of the world are on America and its reaction to the death of George Floyd, an unarmed black man who died in Minneapolis police custody after being pinned beneath a white officer's knee for nearly 9 minutes. Once in a generation, protests have brought multiracial protests into the streets for the past week, but each night has descended into mayhem, with US President Donald Trump vowing to deploy the military to restore order. So has the Irish government done enough to tackle racist attitudes here in Ireland, and should we make our views about what is happening in the US known directly to the US ambassador? Well, I'm joined now by Claire Daly, independent MEP for Dublin, Dr. Eben Joseph, race relations consultant and lecturer in UCD, and Bashir Otukoya, who is lecturer with international asylum and immigration law. Thank you all very much for joining me this morning. Claire, I might go to yourself first, because I know that Taoiseach has tweeted a response to George Floyd's killing. And in that tweet, he said that racism is a virus that we've been fighting for millennia. Despite the progress we have made, it is no less virulent today and no less dangerous. We need to show solidarity as people of all races and backgrounds around the world come together to stop its spread and defeat it. Is that response enough, do you think, from the Irish government?
I think it's a little bit too little and too late. I mean, we're 8 days in since the murder of George Floyd, and I mean, even yesterday we had Simon Coveney, the minister, where against the backdrop of Trump threatening to send in the army against civilians, and his only tweet is about making companies Brexit ready. I mean, the Irish government have literally said nothing about this, and indeed, I suppose, a positive out of the present situation is that many Irish people now are focusing in our lack of action in dealing with the racism that is indeed a virus in Ireland and Europe and many countries beyond the United States. But they've literally said and done nothing. If this was any other country other than the United States, not only would the ambassador be called in, they'd be long gone. I think the silence is actually deafening on it.
Well, what would you expect them to do? You're saying the ambassador should be kicked out of the country?
In any other, if this was any other country, not only 8 days later, but one day later, the Irish government would be issuing hard-hitting statements about this. The European Union would be doing the same. Can you imagine if this happened in Russia or in China? We wouldn't get this type of silence. I mean, these are incredible movements that a president of the United States is talking about mobilizing the army. He even threatened states that he would invade them if the governors didn't get their act together in dealing with this situation.
To be fair, now, he only did that on Monday in terms of what the president of the United States has said. The talk about the military, etc., has only started from Monday. I know you're saying it's 8 days later, but 8 days ago, this was very much a domestic issue, wasn't it?
I think today is Wednesday.
Yes, it is.
And I mean, we look at a background, I suppose we're used to the European Parliament. If anything happens on a human rights or a fundamental rights stage anywhere around the world, they're very, very quick to jump in, be it Iran, be it China, be it Russia, whatever. We have statements and condemnations and so on. And yet this is happening, a massive curtailment of civil liberties, the expose again of the systemic racism that exists in American society, vicious brutality. We've known and seen that the police have been used against the press. The European Union and Ireland as part of it are always going on about the need to protect freedom of the press. It's clearly under attack in America, and they say nothing. So whether it's 8 days or 3 days, it's an incredibly unusual reaction for a government that claims to be democratic and who traditionally would intervene in these scenarios.
Well, I know there's obviously been a lot of controversy surrounding Donald Trump since he came to office, and there's been various points of which it has been discussed, whether or not, for example, we should go to the States on St. Patrick's Day, whether Donald Trump should come here, all of that. And each time the line from the government in relation to this has been that we have a very strong relationship with the United States. A lot of our US multinationals are based there, that we don't want to destroy those relationships over one man who is in office for potentially just 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the correctness about that statement is this isn't about one man. And I too would be critical that it has been very easy for people to throw potshots at Donald Trump. He is vulgar, ignorant and a bit crazy, and it's easy to target him. But let's remember the Black Lives Matter movement started under Barack Obama. The systemic racism and police brutality in America operated under Democratic presidents as well. So in that sense, we're not attacking one man. I would agree with that. But the problem is the rest of the government statement, which is we turn a blind eye to everything that the United States does because we have basically put this country on the market or in hock to US multinationals. Because of that, we ignore our obligations under Irish neutrality. We allow the US to transit through Shannon, even in the midst of a pandemic, when Aer Lingus workers are let go and at home and the airport is shut, they're coming through on their way to theatres of war around the globe. So, yes, this bending of the knee is a problem, but I do agree with them. It's not about one person, and I think too many people have been, you know, quiet about the systemic problems in America and targeted as a personal issue on Donald Trump, which it obviously isn't, even though Trump is certainly making the matters worse and his response is kind of surprising. If this was maybe another president, they would at least make a pretense of trying to deal with the underlying causes, maybe promise some sort of police reform or something. He's obviously not doing that, but it is a much bigger problem than that, than just him, for sure.
Sure, but you're saying that the Irish government isn't doing enough and that we should, for example, kick out the US ambassador. But it's very easy to say that. And it's very easy to say that we're compromising our morals for the sake of multinationals. But multinationals bring jobs and lots of jobs. They're vital to the Irish economy. So kicking out the US ambassador, what would that do to our relationship and the prospect of jobs coming here and staying here?
I don't think it would make a blind bit of difference to that. US multinationals are here because they make considerable amounts of money here. And if that's the reason, then we wouldn't do business with anybody. How come we find it no problem to speak out about human rights abuses in any other country other than the United States and maybe even Israel sometimes? Why would we do that? Like, that doesn't make any sense at all. The multinationals are here to make money. They will do that. And I don't think Irish people would agree that we should stay silent in the face of such brutality and racism only in America, because that's the logic of that stance, because we've no problem about speaking out against it anywhere else.
Okay, well, like I said,
it's ridiculous. And this is why they're getting away with it, really, you know.
We also do have Eben and Bashir on the line. Eben, I'm just interested in your thoughts on that. Is that something that you would like to see in terms of the Irish government's approach to this, that we should take a strong line with the US ambassador or even ask him to leave?
I think I was so disappointed with Leo Varadkar. I mean, when I saw his comment on Twitter, you know, I was like, you're just talking now. I mean, that was like 7 or 8 days afterwards. You know, he sent us 3 clear messages. He sent a message to us, number one, this is how I value you. It shows the value as a nation, as Ireland, that we place on black lives. It shows that, you know, who is being killed? Because it depended on who was being killed. If it was somebody else that was being killed, would we as a nation, would we have had a quicker response? And just think about it. Think about it for a minute. What if this case was reversed? What if it was in Nigeria that we heard that a black police officer had put his knee on a white man's face and killed him publicly, and we have all consumed that online and what a life killing. Do you know what? I wake up every day like this for the past 7 days. I have stayed in my room and I have cried every day. Like, I just spontaneously burst into tears. Imagine, I'm just asking you and your audience to listen. Imagine now, if this was a reverse case and this happened in Nigeria and it was a white person that was killed by a black officer, the whole world would be in uproar. The whole world would have been talking. And so when we took 8 days as a nation to speak, we are saying that black lives don't matter. But, you know, my greatest joy was a few days ago when I opened my Twitter page and I saw these 2 girls, Quiver and somebody else, 2 white girls, in front of the American embassy. And they had a poster in front of them. The poster said, Black Lives Matter. You know, in the middle of my tears, it gave me hope. When I saw the protesters in front of the embassy on their knees, and I saw white, black, Caucasian, you know, just every different color and age and group and gender. It gave me hope. But as a nation, Leo Varadkar did not give us hope. He confirmed for me what I have been feeling. I wake up every day and I'm beating my chest, because when I watched George die, I have never seen somebody dying. What that did was, I watched a whole human being. I watched the life being snuffed out of him. And I asked, what was his crime? His only crime was the color of his skin. And this was somebody, it wasn't for me when I read that he had been a colleague with Derek Chauvin 17 years ago. That even made me worry a little bit more. I'm worried. I'm like, God, how many more Derek Chauvins are there out there? How many people are just hating and waiting for the day they will be in position and in power where they can put their knees on our necks? In Ireland here, I can tell you, many of us, people of color, were beating our chests, and like George Floyd, we are crying, we can't breathe. In the labor market, we can't breathe. When we're trying to look for jobs, we can't breathe. When we look at that, despite all the qualifications people have, they can't find jobs, we can't breathe. When people are stuck in the direct provision for 5-10 years, what is their crime? Coming to seek for protection. We are all crying out, we can't breathe. What brings a 46-year-old man, I'm sorry, I'm just so upset. What brings a 46-year-old man to the point where he cried out for his mama, who was already dead, and he was crying out, mama, I can't breathe. And I'm saying that many of us today, in here, in Ireland, we are crying out. I take phone calls every day from people who their experiences in work, in their offices, with colleagues, with, you know, just horrific experiences. And I have to encourage them and plaster them back and just tell them, build your resilience, pull yourself back up, go back in there. I'm sending them back into hostile environments. I'm like, you need a job, go back in there. We can't breathe. I hope as a nation, anybody hearing me today, I want you to ask yourself, are you a Derek Chauvin? You might not be physically killing us, but emotionally, you're damaging us. Emotionally. Look at young Mia. She was 16 years old. I'm sorry, I am so upset. I have never been this upset.
And can I ask you, you're saying you've cried every day since this happened. What difference does the Irish government's reaction or lack thereof make to you then, or what do you want to hear from them?
I want the government to say that we support you. We strongly denounce race and race, the issue of racism, to come out. And imagine if Donald Trump came out today, if immediately this happened, imagine if Donald Trump came out and said, we strongly denounce racism, this was an act of murder, and immediately demanded that a case be brought against these four police officers, this whole case would have been different. It's the same thing we're expecting of Leo Varadkar. We're expecting leadership. Racism cannot be dealt with from the bottom. It has to be dealt with from up down. Leo Varadkar has not given us leadership. He should have come out straight from the beginning and declared it strongly and said, we will not tolerate racism against anybody, against any group, and to call out to the African community and to people and to our young people. A lot of young people, they are disenfranchised. They don't even know what to do. There's a whole level of despondency out there.
Okay, and just to note, we did ask for a representative from Fine Gael on the programme today, but nobody was available. But that invitation stands if anyone from Fine Gael or government would like to come on the show to discuss the matter. Bashir, I'd like your thoughts on this, if you don't mind. Would you agree with the Eben that the Irish government hasn't done enough on this, or what would you like to hear on it?
Absolutely. How could anybody not agree with what Dr. Eben Joseph has just told us? He sit and watch for 9 minutes. Somebody's life be taken from him by virtue of the colour of his skin. I mean, it is repulsive on humanity to have to experience that. It is even more traumatic as a black person to have to experience that, to put yourself, to see yourself in a few years' time, as I did, to see yourself in that man's position, to envision your father, who is black, experiencing the same type of discrimination. Yes, we don't suffer the same severity of racism as they do in America, but we do suffer similar experiences here in Ireland, as Dr. Evan Joseph has just articulated upon. Yes, they are not severe, but they are very real. We can't breathe. We have to endure this trauma online, watching somebody's life be taken away from him, despite the, never mind the color of his skin. We have seen this online. Everybody has watched it. Mm-hmm. We all feel the same way. And then that's on top of what we experience ourselves. We put ourselves in that position because what we fear is that, can that happen to us? Dr. Joseph has just explained how apparently the police officer in question had worked with Judge Floyd for 17 years, just about the same time amount of time that direct provision here has existed. How many Derek Chauvins are there in our community? How many people let their white privileges go unchecked? The difference between Derek Chauvin and ordinary citizens is that Derek Chauvin was in a position of power and he knew it. He not only understood his white privilege, but accepted it and used it to his own benefit. He knelt on this man's neck for a good 9 minutes with his hands on his hips, probably thinking about dinner tonight.
And can I ask you, Bashir, I know you're saying that that it's not as extreme, or your feeling is that racism in Ireland is not as extreme or maybe endemic as what it is in the United States. But what is your experience of it in terms of the authorities? I mean, for example, the Gardaí. There's obviously a big problem in the US with the police force. Have you or Dr. Evan Joseph, if you have any thoughts on that either in terms of the police force here, the Gardaí, is that something that you have come across or do you think there's a problem there?
We have.
I should note.
Oh, sorry, I'll go to Evan first and I'll come back to you, Bashir.
You go on. Oh, sorry. I was just going to say that institutional racism is everywhere. There was a day I worked in the Royal College of Surgeons and I was working on, what's that street? The street with all the shops, right, you know? I was walking down the road and I saw the police coming. And the only person the police stopped was two young black lads in the middle of the road. And I looked round at everybody that was milling down that road, you know, the middle of where the Brown Thomas Road there? Everybody that was walking, the police didn't stop there. It was just the two brown boys that they stopped. So I walked slowly and I watched to see if they were going to, you know, what they were going to do to them and harass them. I was like, how come out of everybody walking down this road, it was only these two black boys that were stopped? We have a problem with the police. I got death threats in jail. I reported to the Gardaí. Absolutely nothing was done. They sent me threatening emails in my personal email. They took it from online. Nothing was done. Of course we have it in institutions. We have it in the academy. Look at in the last few days, because Jonathan Mills, you know, and a few other people said racism was not so strong in Ireland. So young people, if you go online, you will see them. Young people have posted things. You know, the kind of racism they experienced when they were looking for houses. Many of them have posted the racism they experienced in schools. So many young people, they are walking through the corridors of racism. They are being educated in the corridors of racism because every day when they are going for their lectures, they are being called monkeys. They are being told that they are in there because of their, even despite those who have come here and are paying international fees, they are learning in the corridors of racism. Okay. Let me tell you, one of the reasons we don't see so much of the clashes in Ireland and we assume that it's less is because we don't have enough opportunity for contact. People of color, black people are at the bottom of the ladder. In America, black people are across every category. And that's why we see more clashes. Is it the cleaner who is going to come and clash with the manager? It's not going to happen. We are at the bottom of the ladder.
Bashir, I want to ask you about the Black Lives Matter march in Dublin. I know you're planning on attending one that's coming up in Drogheda. How do you feel about the criticism that the protests have received? Because there was a lot of talk about the fact that there wasn't social distancing. There was a lot of people at the one that happened at the weekend and people being concerned about that. What do you think about that?
Black people are dying every day because of racism. Racism is a pandemic. People are literally beaten and literally sick and tired of the racism that we experience, be it subtly or explicitly.
I'm sure you understand, though. I mean, everybody, there's a lot of people around the country sitting at home observing the distancing rules and doing what they can to keep COVID-19 under control. Can you understand why they would feel angry or uncomfortable or frustrated to see a big march of people, whatever the cause and however worthy the cause might be, to see a big crowd of people gathering in one space not observing those rules?
But those people who are thinking that way or who are criticizing, they are detracting from the focus. And the focus is that racism is an epidemic that is destroying Black lives, that is telling people that Black lives don't matter. And those who do go out are basically saying to us that, well, it's either Corona kills us or racism will. Either way, people are losing lives. And that's what they are standing for.
Okay. I'll just go back to you, Claire, because we have to finish up. But just on the march, I wonder what your thoughts are, and also on the Gardaí.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things there. I mean, I don't think it's one or the other. I think people are trying to adhere to social distancing reasons and criteria in the current climate. But at the same time, you cannot keep a lid on these protests. And what we've seen internationally is an attempt to discredit them. There's been talk about, oh, these are far right infiltrators. These are left wing infiltrators. Everything being used to delegitimize what is a very real reason why people must go out now and challenge the status quo, because otherwise change will not come. This has happened too often. And now people realize they need to take sides. So I think the protests will continue.
And I can tell you, we'll get a whole load of texts into the show this morning saying that shouldn't happen, that that's not fair and it's not right to the rest of the population living in the country.
I think they need to try and adhere to social distancing rules within that, and people think that people generally do that, you know. In terms of the Gardaí, I mean, I think we've seen many studies here in Ireland. The European Anti-Racist Network did one a number of years about the hostility amongst the Gardaí against people of colour, against the immigrant population in Ireland, extreme violence, bullying. When I was a TD, I had a whole number of cases of people who, just because of their colour, had come up against the sharp edge of the law, being treated really brutally. In Europe, sure, we've had a number of young black males being killed during COVID, actually by the police in France and in Belgium here. So systemic racism is killing people. It does need to be challenged. I think, you know, people are going to express their concern in many different ways. Some of that will be on the streets. Much more of it will be online or whatever. But we do have to take action, because things cannot continue as they have been doing.
Okay. Claire Daly, independent MEP for Dublin, and also Dr. Eben Joseph, who's race relations consultant, and Bashir Otokoya, who's lecturer with international asylum immigration law. Thank you all very much for joining me.